Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and good afternoon. And here we are once again, back in stride again on a Tuesday on blogtalkradio.com. This is West Side Visions. I am Brother Tony Bullock. And tonight, we're just going to keep it real and talk about these elections and everything else that's going on. And for those of you who have been dipping in and out and checking the news, as you know, President Biden did win the Michigan primary with 80% of the vote. Now, the last time I took a look, everybody's favorite guy, old Dean Phillips, was pulling in about 2.5%, and he may be up to 4. But Dean, Brother Kennedy, y'all not going to get it done. Please just go sit down somewhere and quit trying to stir the pot, because everybody knows what all of that is about. We know that there is some dark force behind you, driving you to do these things. And in the case of Dean Phillips, we all know it's a bunch of sour grapes. You are one of those guys who feel like you somehow, with all the money you have, didn't get the just desserts that you were supposed to, and you're being overlooked. Well, when you don't do certain things during your time in Congress, you get overlooked. And on the other side of the coin, we have everybody's favorite guy, that criminal 45, that weasel, that rat. But then I digress. Ladies and gentlemen, stepping in to hang out with me today is none other than one of my favorite people, Ms. Aja. Hey, what's happening, Chief?
Hey, T, how you doing? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you okay, girl. You know what, my wife used to say, may she rest in peace, I'm still sucking air. I've been battling a cold. I've been fighting this rain here in California, but I'm still hanging in.
I am so happy to hear that. Get well soon, my friend. Get well soon.
Oh, yes. And I've been checking these different results. I've been dipping in and out, and, you know, I've been sitting here laughing to myself watching MSNBC because I've been talking to my relatives in Michigan. And there are a lot of brothers and sisters out there voting for Trump, even though a certain somebody in Michigan is mad because they are, because she feels like she can't get her way with what's going on over across the water in Palestine and Gaza. Well, that's a whole nother story. And my little cousin was telling me, you know, people can say what they want, but black folks are going to go to the polls for Biden. That's just how it's going to happen, especially getting us some clean water. We are definitely going to the polls.
Well, I have MSN, well, it's muted now, but, you know, most of the time I'm listening to news versus watching it. And I have you on speakerphone. That's why I was asking, because I got a batch of postcards that I have to get out fairly quickly here. But it's looking like Biden is going to finish with 80% of the vote. And
right,
the takeaway that I saw tonight, see, and other platforms were ready to talk about how, you know, you had this huge uncommitted vote and it was going to be a bad night for Biden. But just so you know, right before I called in, I wanted to get the final number before I came on and talked with you. Biden is projected to win at least 80% of the vote.
Right.
They wanted the story to be about the uncommitted vote, but you can tell they had to kind of pivot because the story should be, or the bigger story is Trump, you could, you know, the inmate, that'll be the only time y'all hear me say his name tonight, the inmate, 45 asterisk asterisk, he is losing a much larger chunk of the Republican vote, because the irony of it is this is, a lot of those uncommitted will probably vote for Biden, possibly vote for Biden. A lot of those Nikki Haley votes will probably vote for Biden, because at this point, if you are a Republican not voting for the inmate, I mean, you have some real issues and reasons as to why you're not voting for him, and they did not want to have to talk about that tonight. So, you know, Lawrence is usually the only one that calls a thing, and he rightly pointed that out. Like, once again, I don't know why we're pretending that, you know, it was going to be anyone other than Biden or Trump. I don't know why we're pretending, you know, they want to talk about, well, if a district gets 15%, then they get a delegate, and that could be a thing. Okay, but that's not new news. There's always, well, not always, but it won't be the first time, and it won't be the last time, if there's an uncommitted delegate going to the convention. What difference does it make?
Exactly.
He's still got 85% of the vote. A lot of the uncommitted voters, because the reality of it is the only way that the inmate can gain more support is if, you know, he gins up that ugly racist base, and that is going to turn off independents, as well as some, I don't want to call them sane Republicans, because at this point, I mean, what do you need to just pull a lever for someone other than the inmate? But, you know, Republicans that are willing to cross the aisle, and they did in 2020, and they're going to in 2024.
Exactly. And that's what Lawrence did tonight. I always like to catch Lawrence, because one thing I can respect for him is Lawrence always calls it exactly the way it is. And that's exactly what he did tonight. He said, you know, everybody wants to talk about the uncommitted. He said, but the uncommitted is usually voting for Nikki Haley, or he says, I'm not sure who they're going to vote for come November, if they're going to vote for Biden, or if they're going to vote for 45, or if they're going to continue to support Haley. And he was real about that. But I did like the fact that he did put on several people who said why they were voting for Biden when they were going to commercials. He had a couple of older white women. He had a couple of older sisters. He had some in-between sisters. He had some young folks. That's the one thing I always appreciate about Lawrence O'Donnell, because he does the right thing.
He does, and it drives me bonkers. You see me talk about this all the time. I'm like, can you find – it's like they don't think that the true base of the Democratic Party exists. Like, how do you always go to diners and it's nothing but white Trump supporters? Or on the flip side of that, they will find the most politically ignorant black, brown, or marginalized person they can find. It's like they go out of their way to find these people. And I really started getting upset about it when, I want to say it was right before the midterms or right after the midterms, they kept saying they were in Chicago talking to black voters and this, that, and the other. They were in a suburb 30 minutes north of Chicago. Why are you lying to the rest of the population?
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. And it was like, are you kidding me? So you're like me.
And he was an activist that had lost I want to say, now don't quote me on this, y'all, but it was something personal that he had against the Democratic Party in Chicago. But he lived in a predominantly white suburb 30 minutes north, and they found that one black person. Now, you didn't go to the south side of Chicago, where all the, you know, predominantly black people are. You didn't go to the west side, where the Latinos are. You didn't even go to the north side, where it's predominantly wealthy white Democrats. You went 30 minutes beyond that. Really?
And you've heard me say before.
And I can't stand it. And it's because they need a horse race. And so
right. The
message tonight is he got 80% of the vote in Michigan, Biden did. A lot of those uncommitted voters will come around because, again, the inmate is going to get worse as we get closer to election. Not even just the inmate. As IVF and birth control and women's rights and civil rights, and all of these things are constantly being pushed in our face as to what the inmate is against. They're them suburban white women they keep talking about that they thought it could never happen to them or their daughters, they're going to be front and center again. That is where the election is going to be won. It's not going to be by the base of either party. It is going to be the suburbs and also turning out the base.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, you've heard me say time and time again, once upon a time, long, long time ago, when I lived another life, I used to work for KVHK, Channel 44, right there in the good old Bay Area. And it always used to kill me when local election time rolled around and we would go out and hit the streets. They always wanted to talk to that brother, that sister. I was like, wait a minute, I got a teacher standing right here. Yeah, but, and always remember, the people who make programs always have an idea of what they want to hear. They want to hear from that particular one, you know, the one that has a grind with the party, the one who might follow politics, but only follow politics because they're looking specifically for something. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes. And so the other thing is, it's going to come down to the base, and then they keep saying, he's old, he's old, he's old. Lawrence had the people on tonight that were talking about they didn't care about Biden's age. But, I mean, if you are going to keep sitting up there talking about Biden's age, for the love of everything, please, can somebody start the sentence with the inmate is 3 years younger than him? And I didn't watch the segment on Seth Meyers last night. I've just seen clips. But I'm glad that Biden pointed that out, that, you know, I may be old, but I'm not trying to move this country backwards. And, you know, also, I know who the hell my wife is.
Exactly.
I mean, and then I saw pictures today on social media where Junior was having to hold the inmate's hand to keep him from falling over, going down the stage. I mean, there's all kinds of things that the inmate says and does that show that he is not all mentally there, but it's like they don't want to talk about it because then that means that they can't talk about Biden's gaffes, which Biden was having gaffes 20, 30 years ago because he has a stutter. Biden has always been who he is. You go back and you look 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Does he speak a little slower? Yes. Are his policies from 50 years ago? No. He is actually the most progressive president we have ever had, even more progressive than presidents that have been much younger than him.
Exactly. Exactly. And he continues to work to move forward, to move us into
he's willing to learn. And the thing that people forget about Biden, too, is his grandkids live with them. One of the people that is constantly in his ear is a 20-something-year-old. And he talks about it all the time. You know, the grandkids, or Naomi is one of the ones that was living with him, and she might still live with him. She's the one that got married at the White House. You know, she says,
right.
She calls him Pop. Well, I was talking to Pop, and, you know, I was telling him this, and I was talking to Pop, and I was showing him this. So, I mean, y'all are talking about him going out and getting these advisors from here, there, and everywhere. He is in a multi-generational household and gets to hear what young people think all the time.
Exactly.
It's the same thing with the vice president. Her kids are in their early 20s. I mean, why people think that they don't have access to younger voters, I have no idea. It cracks me up. Well, this young person, okay, but they have access to young people. They
both
have young
of them
people
have
in
their
hands every day.
Every day, both of them have their hands on the pulse of the nation at all stages and at all generations. They have it.
Now, tonight is the first night, because this was short notice, tonight is the first night that I didn't ask the young voters in my family ahead of time, you know, what were their thoughts on, you know, the current political things going on? What were their thoughts on kitchen table issues and stuff like that? This is the first time that I didn't do that. And I don't know if you remember the last time we were on, or maybe the time before that, I was saying, you know, I asked the 20-something and the 30-something-year-old, and I asked, you know, the young female in my family, and she's Thai. And then, you know, this is the best part about the Blue MAGA. If y'all don't know who the Blue MAGA is, y'all, I call the Super Left Blue MAGA, or some of them now I'm calling Watermelon ISIS. So just so y'all know who
right.
I'm talking about. So Watermelon ISIS jumped in, and they were like, well, you're not raising very empathetic people. No, I'm raising realistic human beings, and these are human beings, and these are kitchen table issues. Because for you to say that they don't have empathy or they're not sympathetic to the cause, that's not true. The point that they were making is, foreign policy is not what they're going to vote on. Foreign policy is not going to determine to whether their student loans are going to be paid off. Foreign policy is not going to determine whether they can afford a house. Foreign policy is not going to determine one of them is a union worker, and a teamster. Remember I told you the other one is a football coach. And the
right.
the gun death, the gun violence, the child gun violence was at our front door. And so for that person to say that, and then I had some other folks jump in talking about, well, if they were educated, well, that's on you to say that, because all of them are educated. They've all been to college. And two of them, hell, went on scholarships. So, you know, the thing of it is we're living in this bubble and in this place where if you don't believe, sorry, y'all, if y'all have your kids listening, but y'all know I come on at 8 p.m., I can honestly tell you I'm worse on Fridays when T invites me on. It's Tuesday, so
exactly.
I'll go down. But I don't believe that unicorns hit Skittles. I live in reality. And the reality of it is you're going to have two choices in November. You're going to have Joe Biden, who is trying to negotiate a ceasefire and has been trying to negotiate a ceasefire. But they keep moving the goalposts, so that's for a whole other show, too, because, I mean, that's what they said they wanted at first. He's been doing that without having to move the goalposts. Or you're going to have a choice between the person that said, I'm going to deport all of y'all asses, and hell yeah, blow that area off the face of the earth. And that's not including all his other horrible things that he said, and sprinkling of racism and anti-Semitism and misogyny and anti-LGBTQ. I mean, that's just on that issue right there. So, again, unicorns do not shit Skittles, and that is the choice that people have. And you may not like
yeah.
those choices, but those are the choices that we have. Because, again, I have been saying it for how long, T? This was never going to be other than Biden versus the inmate 2.0. This writing has been on the wall. This die has been cast since January 6th.
Anybody with common sense already knew this. This weekend, I got a call from my oldest granddaughter, and she was telling me, she say, Papa, I got some news for you. I'm like, what's up? She goes, well, Papa. And I automatically caught what she was talking about. I say, so, now that you and Joel are now 28 years old, you guys have decided to have a child. And she says, yes. And she also let me know that they have bought a home. Then she says, and now I understand why you and Granny always taught us politics, always taught us civics, always taught us what that first payment on your home was going to be like. She say, and you can damn well believe that when I go vote this year, I will be voting for President Biden once again, because now I have a life I'm responsible for. And that other man is not responsible or cares about what I'm going through.
First of all, T, congratulations.
Oh, yes.
Tell me, T, congratulations.
Not only do I get to be big uncle.
See what I'm saying? People would assume, people will assume because you are an older black man that you don't have your pulse on. No, you just said you got off the phone with a generation, two generations behind you. But because we do talk politics with our children and their children and so on and so forth, that is how we can, yes. And that's what I'm saying. Because you are raising your kids, not you, you know who I'm talking about, them folks, to think that unicorns should Skittles does not mean that we are, because at the end of the day, every single day we wake up black. Every single day, those brown people wake up brown. Those gay people wake up gay. You get what I'm saying? Every single day, we wake up
every
that
single
way.
Day.
The reality of it is we all have to have that talk with our kids, our grandkids, our nieces, our nephews, our great nieces, our great nephews. And the fact that you live in a privileged world, I'm talking about that girl, T, I almost lost it. I seen her on the panel. They had two Never Biden, I'm doing air quotes, y'all, Democrats. And then they had this white girl on. And she's dead ass dead with her entire chest. Who cares about our democracy if Palestinians are dying? If you could have seen my face, I said, we are living in an upside down world. Did she really
say that?
I said, do people not understand that America is the police force or the big brother on the block of the entire country, of the entire world? If American democracy falls, so does the rest of the West and the world. Because no matter how much you think this country should be doing A, B, and C, no matter the little gripes you have here, there, or yes, we could be doing a whole bunch of things better, but at the end of the day, this is the greatest country in the world. Love her
for all her faults.
Criticize her for all her faults. But the fact that you can even do that openly is what makes America great.
Hello? This is what they keep missing. What did Fannie Lou used to say? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And a whole lot of these children out here. Baby, you have to understand something. A whole lot of these children who are out there complaining, you have to remember that it's the participation ribbon crew that's out there whining. That's them Similac drinkers, them Infamil drinkers.
With her entire test, I had to turn the TV off. I said, oh, no, I can't do her. I can't do her friends. I wanted to know what her parents had to teach to her. Ma'am, did you really say that? The exact words, who cares about our democracy? And so tonight, I know you saw it, T, because you liked a couple of tweets or retweets. I made a comment, and I stand by it, and I'll say it, every day if people want me to. The Free Palestine movement, specifically the movement coming out of Michigan, it is anti-black. I've been saying it since November. Remember when I went to the California Dem Convention with California TIFF? Because I got to see it up close and personal. And in person, it's anti-women. It's anti-LGBTQ, it's anti-disabled, it's anti-everything other than white Christian male, because it's not even pro-Palestine, because more GQP-controlled country and or an inmate second term would not be pro-Palestinian. And
not
I need people to understand that and to realize that, because folks were getting upset. They didn't want to block you, but that's neither here nor there, because you can tell they don't think this through, and that's why I say they need to understand that unicorns don't shit Skittles. Explain to me how you think that an inmate 2.0 presidency or more GQP-controlled House or Senate would be beneficial to any black person in America, to any gay person in America, to any Jewish person in America, to any woman in America, to anyone other than a white, straight, wealthy Christian male, because you can't even say the middle class or the poor white people, because no legislation is ever passed to help them. They just ain't smart enough to figure that out yet. That's why they keep voting Republican.
Hello?
They
still ain't figured it out.
It's anti-worker, period. It's anti-wage. I could go, it's anti-education. I could go down the list. because that is the reality of you, not us, Steve, but you know what I'm talking about them.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
On that one issue.
I know exactly who you're talking about. See, last week, Brother Myron came on the show last week, and God, I loved it. Brother Myron Clifton, that's my dog. I love
Myron,
him.
Myron and Elion, they will have you hollering. They are so funny.
Girl, we had a great show. But I was supposed to have two other people come on, but they blew me off. And I know why they did. And it's neither here nor there or anywhere else. But see, again, what you just said made sense. A whole lot of people have jumped in and got on the Palestine and the Gaza bandwagon, not realizing you jump out there and you want to stand for someone else before you stand for your own. Make that make sense to me. And one of these folks went out and spoke at a rally over the weekend where they made her the main speaker. But what are you supporting? Think about what you are supporting, because you've heard me say, I can't support you going out there attacking my village, attacking my people, holding up my folks trying to go to work, but you claim you want our support. But I don't ever see y'all standing with us.
Well, the other thing, too, is I'll take it a step further and just call it thing a thing. It's anti-American. Why is it anti-American?
Yeah, it is.
Because it's anti-democracy. Why is it anti-democracy? Because you literally just had an entire ass nut go and tell the world that he's going to be a dictator on day one. That's anti-American.
Yeah,
you
it
just
is.
Had, you just had, what is it, Project 25, the document
Hello.
Leaked about how they want a white, straight, Christian America. That is anti-American. Are y'all listening out there? That is anti-American. Why is that anti-American? This country is not Christian. This country is not Muslim. This country is not Catholic. This country is not Jewish. This country was founded on religious freedom. That is literally
Hello.
Why them people got their asses on a boat and came and started the damn 13 colonies and so on and so forth, because they wanted religious freedom. So I'm going to
right
say
there.
It again. I will take it a step further. It is not only anti-black. It is not only anti-Latino. It is not only anti-Muslim, Jewish, all of that. It, at its core, is anti-American, because if you are out there and you are caping for or enabling someone that told you that they want to be a dictator on day one, and they told you that they want this to be a white Christian nation, that is anti-American. And I don't care if they get mad today, they get mad tomorrow, and they get mad twice on Sunday. It is anti-American.
Very
and I
much
will,
so.
You won't change my mind on that. You can get mad
and,
as hell. Stay mad. Don't care.
And there is no other way that you can paint it, because that's exactly what it is. No more, no less. And while we're talking, and see, you know I love my black women, let's shift something, because I want your thoughts on it. Today, down in Georgia, they threw Brother Terrence Bradley on the stand, because he was supposed to be this witness that was supposed to have
witness.
All this, the star witness that's supposed to have all this information on Sister Fannie Willis and what she was doing and with her deputy Nathan Wade and how they was romantically involved. And why did it come out that this man say, well, you know, I was speculating. I never really witnessed anything. It was just speculation. What? All of that? And you say it's speculation?
So there's a couple things that are going on, and this is just my opinion, y'all. But this part right here is my opinion. So when they first brought the complaint, the Roman camp, that's the defendant, his lawyers, Roman is the last name. I can't think of the first name right now. When they first brought the complaint, it was, yes, the complaint was that she was benefiting financially by Nathan Wade, and she specifically gave him the job because they were in a relationship before it started. So,
right.
For those who have not been following it, just to let y'all know, like, all of this to me, I would call extra innings to make them look even dumber, because it was proven last week that, by the way, all of that was pretty blown out the water. You don't have to take Fani Willis's word for it, and you don't have to take Nathan Wade's word for it. But the former governor of Georgia got on the stand, which, by the way, if y'all could see the way the prosecutors treated him much, I mean the defense attorneys treated him much differently and nicer because he's an older white man versus black people.
Yes.
Understand? You'll see the difference
yes.
of night and day, and once you see it, you can never unsee it. But the former governor of Georgia testified that he was the first person that she actually asked, and he did not take the job because, one, it didn't pay enough. Two, he did not want to have to put his family under constant 24-hour 7-day-a-week security because of the crazy Republicans and maggots in Georgia. And so
right.
what they were trying to say is she did it to benefit monetarily. Well, it also came out after that Nathan Wade actually took a pay cut. And I know this is going to blow y'all mind because the former governor of Georgia said, I think the job pays $250 an hour. And that is a lot of money unless you're a lawyer in private practice. Because you bill thousands of dollars an hour. So that
yes,
was that
do.
Part. And then it also blew, their smear campaign out of the water that she hired him just because he was her boyfriend. Because she actually testified and said, hell, he wasn't even my first choice. And they tried
Uh-oh.
To make a liar out of her. But see, again, the former governor of Georgia, he took away the point about the money thing, and then he took away the point about the fact that, you know, he was that Nathan Wade would have been her first choice. And I know that a lot of people are upset that this judge is letting a lot of this go on, but from what I've heard from my friends that are lawyers and stuff, and even people on the ground, there's a couple things that are happening. One, whichever way he's going to rule, which I personally don't think that they've proven their case, the defense attorneys, he wants them, you know, to, if there's an appeal to what they, you know, if they appeal it, if he rules in Fani's favor, I mean, he gave them a lot of leeway. So
he gave them a lot of leeway.
Being biased or anything like that. Because they are really playing dirty pool, and they're trying to drag her family into it. And, you know, they make little side remarks. Like today it was something along the lines of when her daughter flunked out of whatever school she was in, why was that relevant? And especially that Cal, I can't even think of her name right now, but you know the attorney
yes.
I'm talking
yes.
about, the defense
yes.
attorney I'm talking about. And then the other thing that people have not been paying attention to is this particular judge is an appointed judge by Republican Governor Brian Kemp. But
yeah.
they keep talking about Fani Willis running for re-election this year. He's also running for re-election, and he's running for re-election in the blackest county in Georgia, the most Democratic county in Georgia. So, I mean, he's only going – folks don't want to talk about it, but, I mean, you know, his re-election also depends on how he acts in this trial.
Yes, it does. It really
and
does.
And so a lot of people, you know, so those are some things, some extra little tidbits to think about. But, again, you know, their whole case was on speculation. So you had this man that had an axe to grind, but you're talking about today. Were you not on the SGLC waiting to see what he's going to say when last week the DA's office brought out the fact that he was fired for sexual harassment?
Exactly.
And then when he tried to pretend like he had never heard the woman's name, they was like, so you don't know, what was her name, Rodriguez or Maria Garcia? He tried to play crazy. I fell out. I said, but yet, this goes to show you how they are so determined to try to get some dirt on her. They knew last week that he wasn't a credible witness, and the district attorney's office was going to be able to poke holes in his story or even just his credibility. I mean, hell, you got fired for sexual harassment. And then by the last day, you didn't know the person.
And they stuck him out there anyway.
This is what we're working with. The woman was forced to resign or quit, the other witness that they had. And so they're letting this all go on. But my thought is, I'm hoping, it's because he doesn't want to give them a grounds for appeal. That's what I'm hoping.
Exactly. And,
but
you know,
let me not just say black folks, because I have a whole bunch of friends that are not black. They're like, this is ridiculous. And I'm like, all they're doing is firing up the base. And all they're doing is showing people that had never seen how folks like that act, how they really act to begin with.
Yes, they are. Now, listen, we have another caller on the line, so let me find out who this is. Caller 4277. Who am I speaking with, please?
Dr. Harris.
Dr. Harris, pastor, one of my favorite people, who I also wrote in this weekend on my ballot as voting for you as mayor. Ms. Hodgson, this is my pastor, Dr. Reverend Floyd Harris, who resides over at 806 Commons. Dr. Harris, how are you doing this evening?
Oh,
hi,
man. How you doing, sister?
Good. Nice to
meet you. Phone. Yes. We've been listening to God's show.
Dr. Harris, this is a sister that I want you to get to know, because she has them worldwide contacts like you. She's very deep into these politics. So, Pastor, what you got to say tonight? Let me hear your voice.
Well, I want to apologize. I was supposed to call in on Friday, and I was on Amtrak, and I couldn't get no signal down the railroad tracks. And so that's why I didn't call in on Friday. Yeah, but I was looking forward to calling in. I told Eileen I was going to call in, but when I was coming back from Oakland getting my hair done, I just couldn't get a signal on the track. But nevertheless, we're glad to know that you're back on the air. I know you took a little break. Sometimes that's needed to regroup, and we're just glad to hear that the show is back on. We don't know if you know, we opened up a TV station at my church. Yeah, as well as our blog talk radio show. So we want to be able to get you over there, get your team on there, so we can broadcast you guys and put you out there more than what you are right now.
Well, always. And I don't know if you have been paying attention tonight, watching this Michigan primary, Chinese politics. But I know that when you do step to the pulpit, you always tell folks, to vote their conscience. And, like I was saying earlier, I had did my mail-in ballot. And, I always have a problem when there's only certain folks running. So when we got down to that mayor part, I just politely wrote your name in, because the truth of the matter is, you're supposed to be running for mayor.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We sure appreciate your continued support on that. A lot of folks had asked me to run again, but I just wasn't in the right place. I've taken over this ministry over here, and it really takes a lot of my time. But we still got our ear to the ground. We're still organizing in West Fresno. We know that Jerry Dyer, the mayor now, and quite interesting. When I ran for mayor last time, he wouldn't get on the stage and debate me, and everybody know why, because we're going to have a real conversation about policy. And so he done pretty much bought off pretty much all the black leadership in the city and gave out jobs and this and that. And so it's just something that we just got to keep chipping at. Our ancestors fought a good fight and fought to the end, and that's what we got to do. They passed
and that's
the time
exactly
us.
Exactly, that's what we talk about. That's what me and Ms. Ozzie are talking about tonight. how politics always local, how they go down, how we have to stay, how the village has to keep fighting for the next generations coming up. And, you know, I preach that all the time. And, by the way, you will be seeing me this Sunday. I will be
yes,
in the
sir.
House.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're glad to have you. So we can set up your TV and we can set up your TV interview right now for Sunday.
I'm real honest about where I come from, and you know, I keep 806 Collins on the forefront because that has always been my spot. That's my church. That's been my church since I've been back. And people can say what they want, but there is no drive a wedge between us because I'm always be standing with y'all.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, we're a social justice ministry. You know, we're not your average type of Sunday morning service. You know, bring in heavy hitters. You know, this past Saturday we had an African American men and youth conference, and it was very powerful. And, you know, we're just loving our children unconditionally. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's coming at us right now as black men. And it's going to take us elders to, you know, be a covering for our children and to teach them.
Well, see, that's our job. That's what we are supposed to do.
Right. I mean, you taught me a lot about the Black Panther Party, you know. We drove Oakland and you showed me landmarks, you know, and. Now, that stuff is helpful, you know, and to continue to struggle for our people. Because like I told my congregation, this world hates black people. It always has and has never stopped. But we have to love ourselves and continue to love ourselves and to be able to, you know, keep pushing.
Yes,
keep
indeed.
Plowing.
This is why I associate with this young lady that's on the phone right now, because Sister Aja, she go hard. She go hard, and she represents the village big time, from front to back and forward.
Yes, sir. Is she local or across the country? Or?
No, she is.
I'm in Northtown.
She's in North. She's up in the Sac area.
Oh,
I'll just tell
okay.
him where you're from, darling.
I am in the Sacramento area, but are you in Oakland?
I'm in Mississippi, Fresno.
He's down here with me. He's in the Central Valley.
Ah, okay. You're in Fresno.
This is my pastor. This is my pastor. This is the man I march on the streets with.
Ah, so no, I'm in California with you, but I'm not in that area. But, I mean, Fresno's not all that far away. I mean, I'm not going to lie to y'all. I tend not to go down that way, but Fresno's not all that far away.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
In my defense, you know, I used to work down at Memorial Medical Center in Modesto part-time, well, on call and stuff like that. And I used to be in the Fresno area a lot. I just don't go down there anymore.
Right.
Well,
I do know the area a little bit.
I renamed our city to Mississippi Fresno.
Yes,
oh,
you did.
I heard that. It's kind of accurate. It is kind of accurate.
Trust me.
This pastor, me and a few others, when they see us coming, it's like, oh, no, here they come. Because they know we are not the ones, the twos or the threes. We're going to make it happen.
Right. Yeah, you can go on YouTube, my sister, and look at the work we've done over the past 40 years and check us out. And, you know, we'll get to know each
I'll
other
get your
and
info
support each other. Yeah.
I'll get your info.
Oh, I will definitely be passing your info to her. And she will definitely be shooting some info to you. Because, like I say, this sister here, she one of them active ones. She's for real, for real. She's just like us. She's for real, for real.
Right. Okay. Well, listen, Sunday, Brother Tony, we'll go ahead and set you up for a TV interview on Sunday morning.
Yeah, I'm going to be giving you a call.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank y'all for this little time. And we'll be talking soon. Keep up the good
All
work.
All right, Pastor. Appreciate you calling in.
Thank you. Nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you too, sister. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. That Brother Harris, my pastor, he is that brother. And I really appreciate him. He's the guy for him. And don't care who has a problem, black, white, pink, purple, otherwise. If they make a phone call, he coming.
That's how it should be.
You know, he coming. He is one of them men, he stand on principle. He don't stand on what you look like. He has stood for everybody from young folks to old folks. Like I say, he is that guy. When he coming, he coming, and we all coming. But darling, you saying you was working on something? You know,
what I was working on in the background, and what I'm kind of so there's a couple things. You were talking about voting, so I just want to remind everyone here in California, you know that Tuesday we have an election, but you can early vote already. I actually wore my shirt from T today, and yes, I do get a kick out of getting T-shirts, even though I make T-shirts. I wore my shirt today to go drop off my ballot at my local library because I'm pretty sure everyone has it. I know we do up here, but the library has the ballot boxes. If you don't want to leave the comfort of your home, California has your ballot. You fill out your ballot, put it in the mail. There's no postage due. So you can drop it in any mailbox in California. There's no postage due. We make it very easy for you to vote here in California. I know in-person early voting is going. Just go online to the Secretary of State for California, their website, and you can find ways to vote. But, you know, not only are we voting on Tuesday, do you know what I'm going to say? I'm super excited.
Yep, yep.
It's Super Tuesday. Super Tuesday's coming up.
Girl, now you know.
16 states and one territory will be voting on Tuesday, March 5th.
And you know that's going to be wild. So you know what that means. That means next Friday, we got to do that show.
Yes. And if you guys want to know which states are voting, because I don't ever know who's listening. So the 16 states that are voting, Alabama, Alaska. But Alaska is doing Republicans only. Arkansas, California, Colorado, Iowa, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, Virginia, and the U.S. territory that's voting on Super Tuesday is American Samoa. Y'all ain't have to remember all of that. I will post a receipt and an article under the message about me and T doing the show tonight on my page, and I'll throw it under. I'll put a receipt under your tweet as well, T. So if they can go in and make a look. But 16 states. This is the biggest pot of delegates that will be awarded on Tuesday. So it is literally like Votapalooza. So I'm super excited about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I've been following some of the things going on out there. Arkansas, craziness. Tennessee, craziness. They want to push that thing of not being able to let people be reappointed once they put them out the house. So it's going to be some wild stuff on ballots. It's going to be wild.
It really is, and hopefully folks are paying attention. Now, I'll say this. I don't see any of those 16 states that I just mentioned or in the one territory throwing a curveball. I don't see Joe Biden not winning. I don't see the inmate not winning. What I'm actually looking for is to see, because Nikki Haley has vowed to stay in. Looking to see, because she's actually overperformed. Now, again, y'all, don't get it twisted. I got a good birthday present. She still lost by a lot in South Carolina. But the thing of it is I'm interested to see now that people are seeing that she's actually picking up a little thing. Again, it's not a thing that she's going to be the candidate. But I'm actually interested to see when she gets to states like Colorado,
right,
Massachusetts, Minnesota. You know, I'm not banking on the inmate not outright. I mean, I think it's going to be a blowout in Utah. Texas, I think it's going to be a blowout. Tennessee, I think it's going to be a blowout. But I'm willing to – I want to see, like, North Carolina, Massachusetts, those states where you have more college-educated Republicans. And they're not super in love with the inmate. I'm waiting to see on that. But let's keep it real. Nikki Haley is running to see if Donald, you know who, is going to be put in jail. Which I'm gonna tell y'all, he's
dead. Yeah. It was said
it's
earlier today.
It's not necessarily because he won't be found guilty, but I mean we have to be realistic here. Even if he's found guilty of campaign finance violations and stuff, it can carry a maximum of 5 years in prison. People get a huge fine and probation. That's probably what's going to happen with him there.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
People that are still thinking that all of these cases are going to end up with him in prison, I need y'all to start dabbling in reality because that's not what's going to happen. The one case where he might end up in prison, well, there's two. Georgia, maybe, but again, you have a Republican governor. Now, do I think that Brian Kemp would pardon him? Absolutely not, because they don't like him in Georgia. They really don't. Establishment Republicans do not like him at all. How do we know this? They're the ones who released the tape of him asking to find the votes.
Exactly.
And
he wants to bring it there.
Florida, the documents case, but you got to look at who the judge is there. He'll do prison time, but I am thoroughly enjoying us watch every penny he has just slowly be flushed out the toilet. I mean, it's quite entertaining for me.
It really is,
but,
and I love the fact.
That's what I'm watching for on Super Tuesday. I've had people ask me about the recall effort to recall Gavin Newsom again. If you're not in California, because I've had only people from California that are not from California ask me this. Democrats here, I don't know a single Democrat that's worried about it. I don't even think – I know I'm not annoyed, but I don't even know anyone that's annoyed over it because it's like y'all just want to keep wasting money and getting beat. Because the irony of it is Gavin won the recall by more than he won the initial run for governor. And at this point, you're just pissing Democrats off.
Exactly.
I mean, it's California. And they made it even harder this time around to trigger the recall. So, yeah, I don't know. But if y'all really want to know what this is about, it's not about Gavin as a governor at this point. It's about trying to weaken Gavin in case he decides to want to run for president down the road.
Exactly. And that's what that is about. You know, I don't watch Meet the Press anymore, but I just happened to catch it this Sunday because Gavin was on there. And he made Sister Welker look like the ignorant person that she is.
Is it something
about
that chair? Because she used to be fair and balanced. And it's got to be something about sitting in that chair. It has to be. Because Chuck Todd was horrible, too. I haven't watched it in years.
You know, when the original host passed was when I kind of cut it loose. I would dip in on it, and no one has been able to sit in his chair the way he did. These folks that MSNBC has put in there now, I'm telling you, Kristen Walker, she's embarrassing. Her family need to grab her and just good and ask her, girl, what's wrong with you? Didn't we teach you anything?
Well, I knew it was going to be so when the first guest you had was the inmate.
I still can't believe she did that. But see, again, it's not her. It's them folks, them producers. I'm telling you. So one thing I have learned about politicians is this. I don't care what your platform is. You want to have some stupid Republican on there because you look for crazy. And that's exactly what the media has turned into. We want to get some big ratings. Let's go find the dumbest Republican we can to stick in front of the TV camera.
They need a horse race. Yeah. And then two, they're not realizing that they're turning off their core base of viewers by trying
to
court that independent and never inmate voter. That's really what they're trying to do because they realize they have a locked-in number of viewership, so they're trying to expand, but they're going to that independent voice and they're going to that never-inmate voice, but the fact of the matter is you're turning your base off. Now, that's one damn thing I got to say about the other folks over there on Fox News. They're not going to move away from their base at all any stretch of the imagination. That's why their numbers kind of stay consistent.
Now,
but
I can honestly say,
I feel like there's certain people on the channels that are watchable for me. Like, I don't do any of the daytime. I will listen to Nicole Wallace, which is funny, y'all, because she's a former Republican, but she got more sense than all of them. I mean, and then I listen to Rachel on Mondays. Because she brings receipts and she's very factual and that, and then Wagner, she's okay, but not really. And then Lawrence. And then Stephanie Moore, I like her.
You and I walk down the same path.
And I like Katie Fong. Yeah.
I will listen to Nicole, Lawrence, and Rachel.
If you want me to watch Chris Hayes' show, tell me ahead of time that Ali Belshi is sitting in for him. Then I'll watch it.
I can't do Chris. I dropped him a long time ago.
And the reason why I'm saying that is it blows my mind watching these people pretend like they didn't help the inmate win in 2016.
Exactly.
And so
that's exactly it.
That's why I'm glad they finally stopped having Eddie on.
Oh, yes.
And because you were a whole-ass Jill Stein voter. I need you to, what? Yeah, I don't want to hear anything you have to say about how horrible the inmate is. Because the fact of the matter is, you could tell that a lot of them were okay until he started attacking educational institutions and journalists.
Right.
See, they thought he was going to give them some type of special pass. No, he's vindictive and petty. Y'all said something mean about him 117 years ago, and he remembered that.
And then he started coming for him. And see, look, I don't care what you say. There's been a whole bunch of folks trying to play the role, and now all of a sudden it's like, well, yeah, you know, there's nothing you can say I'm impressed with. Because you showed me these two colors already.
And then, like, with Alex Wagner, when the whole CRT and Project 1619 and all these came out.
Yes.
One of her first shows was she had this woman on that was talking about how her child, you know, was forced to read this stuff, her son, and he felt guilty. And this and the other. Now, y'all, I swear. I thought this one was talking about like a 10 or 12-year-old. Y'all, are y'all listening? He was in college.
Yes.
And Alex Wagner never bothered to tell any of the viewers that. She actually was one of the first people, purposely or not on purpose, that gave voice to the Moms for Liberty movement.
Yes, she did.
And then will sit up there and be like, I don't
with
understand.
With no pushback.
Why they're banning books. Well, it wasn't a thing until y'all gave these dummies a platform.
set up and gave
again,
a platform, gave
you,
no
the
pushback.
The way this woman was describing her son and the way this journalist was questioning her, you would have thought she was talking about a 10-year-old kid. Meantime, we talking about a grown 20-some-year-old, I think he was a sophomore or junior in college.
Yeah, he was.
And I mean, it's the, if y'all are wondering how we got to where we are today, and you're wondering how it is even possible that a man that has been convicted of fraud and rape can be running on the ticket, it is not just Fox News that has helped this that wing of the Republican Party and that segment of hateful, bigoted, racist population in America. It is also the, and I'm doing air quotes here, liberal media that has helped as well.
It has.
Because,
it has, definitely.
Because those are the kind of things that they do. They will find all of the Republican voters or the most politically ignorant black and brown voters. They don't listen to the base. They turn everything into a horse race. And again, we started just talking about Michigan. The story tonight was supposed to be the uncommitted vote in Michigan.
Yep.
They called Michigan for Joe Biden in 2 minutes. I'm not even sure it was 2 minutes on some platforms. He is going to win with 80% of the vote. That's the bare minimum. He should be. Basically, the inmate should be considered like an incumbent president because he was the president from 2017 to 2021. He should be running like an incumbent in his own party. He's not. He's underperforming in these primaries. But they
yes,
want to talk about the Democratic
Party. Big time. Big time
and
underperforming.
So he's underperforming, but then – more importantly, shout out to Travis, who makes me pay attention to political fundraising and Tiff and Renee and Bao and all them that really start making me look at the fundraising numbers. The other thing I'm watching for on Super Tuesday, y'all know a lot of these state Republican parties are broke. And when I say broke, I mean a lot of us got more money in our bank accounts than they do. Hell, some of them was in the red. Like some of them was negative.
Oh, yeah, they broke.
Arizona, again,
yep.
As we're talking about Michigan tonight, the Michigan Republican Party is broke. Arizona, Michigan, it's all swing states. Pennsylvania, I'm trying to think of what the other one is. I will be much more prepared on next Friday, y'all, because I'll get the data together for you and I'll show you.
Oh,
but
yeah.
These people are broke. In the meantime, Joe Biden set a record for January fundraising, most money ever raised by any candidate for any party in a January. He raised $42
million. $42
million. And I don't know if y'all pay attention to the numbers and stuff like that. Again, I didn't used to until it was brought to my attention, like how that can play out. And then we really got to see it. If you want a good example of how that midterms for 2022, the Republican Party actually had to start pulling ads as early as mid-September because
they
had run out of money. And so I don't know if y'all realize this or not. It takes a lot of money to win campaigns and to run campaigns. And when campaigns are won on the margin, and again, I keep emphasizing battleground states because the election is not going to be won in California. The election is not going to be won in New York. The election is not going to be won in Illinois. It is going to be won in swing states, and it's all about the margin. And then you have the Republican National Party because, well, I mean, nobody can take down the Republican Party at this point like the Republican Party can take down the Republican Party. So they are floating the idea of Trump's daughter-in-law, Laura Trump, becoming co-chair. And she said with her entire chest that most of their money and fundraising and organizing will go towards keeping the inmate out of jail, paying his legal fees, and helping him get reelected. Now, I don't know if y'all have been paying attention. His legal fees last year before these cases even started, I believe was $58
million? $58
million. Something like
that.
Don't quote me exactly on that. It was $50 million and more. But, $50-plus million dollars of his PAC money has gone towards legal fees. And so, basically, the RNC, we're about to see, because you know what's going to happen. They have no spine. We're about to see the RNC turn into a piggy bank for Trump. And, y'all, why is this important? Because, again, back to the Reseda movement and the Watermelon ISIS and the Free Palestine, it's anti-American because at the end of the day, that man is not running because he loved this country. He's not running because, hell, he even likes this country. He's not running because he has real political views because, again, the night that the inmate decided to run for president was when President Obama, made fun of him at the White House Correspondents' Dinner in front of people and said he wasn't a real billionaire. That is when he decided to run because he's petty. He never thought he was going to win. So this time, he is running for his freedom. He's running to be able to see
running to stay out of jail.
If he can pardon himself.
But you know, You know we like him because he got a record and he got a mugshot and he got some gold sneakers. That's why we like him.
And speaking of those gold sneakers, now I'm not going to tell you to do this, but I mean if you like gold sneakers. I've seen a similar pair. I'm not advocating for folks to do this. I'm just saying some of my followers alerted me to the fact that you can go on Tebu and find them for like $25. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, you can. You surely can.
I take comfort in the fact that there are people that are complaining about the price of eggs and gas and then turn around and buy some $399 sneakers. Now, if that was not funny enough for me, because I'm easily entertained, as you can see, what's even funnier is one of my followers pointed out to me that in the fine print of buying these sneakers, they're going to be drop shipped in August and September, y'all. When I tell you these folks, I will never see these shoes. Woo!
Yeah.
If y'all could see me laughing over that, fix it. Thank God, guys.
But that just shows you how, I'm telling you, they're like lemmings. You can lead them to the cliff and they're going to jump.
And then no one wants to talk about because they need it to be a horse race is this. Democrats are outperforming everywhere and have been since Roe was overturned. And why is that important? Because if people thought that that movement was going to lose traction, it's not. Because T mentioned IVF earlier. He said he wanted to talk about IVF. So then you had this Alabama case with IVF. And then now Republicans are backtracking on it, or they're trying to, but of course there's receipts. But I just want you to know that Tammy Duckworth is going to introduce legislation tomorrow in the Senate.
Senator
Duckworth from Illinois to basically codify IVF. And Republicans are like, no, we love IVF. But I just want to remind y'all that all of them voted for three of the five Supreme Court justices that allowed this to even come to fruition by overturning Roe. I guarantee you tomorrow most of them are going to oppose legislation that would unban it. And wait for it. They're coming for contraception next. So
why
they keep wanting to kick the hornet's nest, I have no idea. But this will be an issue that's front and center in November. And if you think that that can't swing elections to Democrats, I would like to remind folks that Democrats overperformed in Kansas over Roe v. Wade. We kicked their teeth in Ohio twice in less than 6 months over Roe v. Wade. I mean, they have not lost a special election or election periods, even in red states where this has come up and you've had these extreme Republican legislatures that have had to try to, like, rush these through. And when I say rush these through, I'm talking about, like, special elections on a Friday in the middle of summer. Like crazy stuff like that. Democrats are still overperforming. And not overperforming by small amounts. I'm talking overperforming by, like, 10, 20 points.
Oh, yeah, they overperforming big time. And, you know, one of the things with the Republicans all of a sudden, oh, no, we love IVF. We love, because they realize they didn't let the cows out the barn when they overturned Roe and start attacking IVF. A lot of Republicans are going to do just like Queen say, it's going to be another one bites the dust.
And then if you all are believing that we did not know this could be a possibility, I can't remember if it was Sheldon Whitehouse or Richard Blumenthal. But anyway, Amy Coney Barrett, the particular religious organization that she belongs to, they are against IVF. And so one of the Democratic senators, it was Whitehouse or Blumenthal, they actually – asked her about it in her Senate confirmation hearing, and it kind of got, like, overruled or swept under the rug or whatever, because this was always her belief. Another thing that they're, you know, points to the fact that they're lying and they knew this was a possibility, Kellyanne Conway, her polling firm, now, like her or love her, she is a liar and a grifter and whatever else, but the HEFA can do the hell out of some polls. Like, that is where
she
cut her teeth and made her career, and a lot of her polling is considered the gold standard. She literally told them years ago, please don't do this, because even 83% of Republicans are like, no, we really like IVF. Because if you're going to say that you're pro-life, how would you go against people being able to have more children?
Exactly.
And so why I'm saying it's about contraception, because, you know, they always leave little nuggets and breadcrumbs. So if you look in the footnotes when they overturned Roe, I believe it was Alito and another one that put the little crumbs in there, because, you know, Supreme Court opinions as well as, you know, majority opinions as well as dissents, they leave little nuggets in there, because whether the case goes, you know, no matter which way the case goes, it becomes precedent, right? And so they put these notes in there and these footnotes and stuff, and that's how I can honestly say that if you read the footnotes and stuff, the IVF thing is not a surprise. Contraception will not be a surprise. Interracial marriage will not be a surprise, because that's why they're picking these weird, random cases. An example is, like, the woman, you know, they ruled on a case about a woman and a website, and they, the media really, like, dropped the ball on this. They failed to mention that the woman didn't even have a damn website or a company at that point. And then they also failed to talk about the person that they used as the plaintiff, like, to get the case up there. Wasn't it, like, a guy from San Francisco that had never even heard of these people?
It was a guy from San Francisco, but then the media kind of overlooked it. Now, we have another caller on the line, so let's find out who this is. Caller, you're on the air. Who are we speaking with?
Yeah, this is Brother Mike. Hi, how are you, both of you?
Okay, Mike, we're doing all right. And yourself?
Oh, thank you. Can I know your name and her name, please?
Well, this is Brother Bullock, Mike. But what is it that is you want to have to say?
Oh, okay. I want just to be professional, so to know your names. But that's fine. It's okay. Anyway, thank you for taking my call. You know, the news that they don't want us to know. I mean, the government shut down. The reason is because NATO is going to send troops to Ukraine. So as a result, Russia right now put their inter-ballistic missile in Moscow streets. And they're ready to go deployed to anywhere that they've been ordered. And, you know, Russia had lots of patience right now. I mean, we give them Ukrainians, you know, F-16, tanks, everything you can imagine. And we give them, of course, trainings and a lot of things. And Russia is out of patience right now. And just they're looking if the NATO, over 120,000, which are massed with, you know, Ukraine, with Poland, with also Russia, Belarus. So basically, if one mistake comes, Russia is going to basically even go to the first strike. And so the reason is government shutdown is nothing, but they are going to go to their own bunkers and, you know, they don't care for anybody else. What do you think?
Well, no, Russia has very rarely cared about anyone else. Russia started this many, many moons ago, and they feel like they can just, all of those small countries surrounding them, they can just walk in, take over the resources, take over their treasuries, take over whatever they want, and do what they want.
Basically any country that used to be part of the Soviet Union.
Exactly.
But I'm going to agree to disagree with you. No, we're going to have a government shutdown because the GOP is incompetent.
Very incompetent.
And as much as we would like to believe it's to take away from other things, no, it's because they're incompetent. And I will say that, and I stand on that, because the GOP shut themselves down even when the inmate was president. And we did not have a war in Ukraine, and we didn't have
exactly
any of these other things going on. So I'm going to say it again for everyone out there listening. No, I personally don't believe that it is to some grand conspiracy for NATO or a war over there. It's about what's happening right here and the GOP incompetence. Because, again, I want to say it was 2018 going into 2019. They shut themselves down, and they had they were in charge of the House, the Senate,
and
the White House.
And
it was over the border. They shut themselves down. So, no, I'm not going to – at this point, I don't like to give the GOP credit for much, but I am going to give them credit for being incompetent and unable to do anything that drive a clown car. No, the government is going to shut down on March 1st if they don't do something because they're incompetent.
And you've heard me say time and time again, those who cannot govern do stupid stuff. And that is
and
our
so
GOP.
Anything, they would shut the government down to take away from the fact that they have been screaming about an immigration bill for years, and they killed the immigration bill. And since we're talking about the long history of GOP incompetence, taking away from things, this is not the first time they have shut down the immigration bill. They have shut down the immigration bill, which blows my mind that people think that they are better at the border security. They Bill Clinton tried to do a new border bill. They said no. If you remember when Barack Obama had to, like, ram through DACA with an executive order, they wouldn't do it then. So this is not the first time nor the second time. This is actually the third time in the last 20 years that Democrats have introduced legislation to fix the border, and Republicans have said, "Oh no, we're just joking. We only say it to irritate and gin up our base." So they've never been serious about governing, and they've never been serious about the border. And so, yeah, no, I will not be participating in the grand conspiracy. No, it's just because they're incompetent.
So are you telling that you see the ship is sinking? So it doesn't matter who is the next captain of the ship. the ship will sink down. Is that true?
Basically, yes. With the GOP, that's what's going to happen.
It doesn't matter any of them in charge or no charge. I mean, United States pretty much is going to be doomed. And also internal forces and external forces will make it more faster and faster that the ship is going to go down
Mike,
to the ocean.
You called, so
no.
What is it exactly you want to see done with the Ukraine and Russia? What's your deal there?
I want to say that, you know, it doesn't matter right now, because if a country doesn't have a borderline that is totally controlled like North Korea, if you go to North Korea, you put 1 inch of your leg or hand into North Korea, you will be captured. And guess what? You will go to the FEMA camp in North Korea, right? But over here, we have millions coming. And then what will happen, basically, our resources, instead of to be used for American citizens and illegal immigrants that already been here or will come later on, then we don't have nothing.
Oh, I have a question for you, though. Where were you born?
Where I born? At this time, you know, is...
No. I don't want to know at this time. I want to know where you were born.
Where I born in, is in United States.
No, you were not born in the United States.
If you say so.
Oh, I know so. I've lived in several parts of the United States. We could go off of your syntax. We can go off of your dialect. We could go off of your accent. You were not born in the United
exactly.
States. So where were you born, and what was the purpose of the call? Because,
see,
T is nice. I'm not.
Okay, I mean,
tell folks every time I come on his show, God is still working on me. So what was the purpose of you calling? Because you went from...
I mean, you said the government...
You don't sound very pro-American to me.
Okay, you said the government shut down, right? So what's
the
reason
behind the government
shut down? No.
You started with it, and then I cut you off to let you know that, no, it is GOP incompetence, and it has nothing to do with the war in Ukraine. They cannot govern. They have never been
not
able
whatsoever.
To govern. If you want me to take it even further than them shutting themselves down, every single time the government has been shut down has been when the GOP-controlled Congress going back 30 years. So you brought up a government shutdown when you called in. You brought up that it was going to be with Ukraine. Then you pivoted to it doesn't matter who the captain of the ship is, and then you wanted to start talking about illegal immigration. So I asked you where you were born. You lied.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter.
You have an accent
too.
I
asked you where you were born.
I mean, if you don't mind, you have an accent yourself too. Can you tell me where you come from?
Uh-huh, it's an American accent.
Okay, Mike, bottom line, where were you born? Can you tell us that? And don't tell us USA.
Okay.
Because
many people can be born
in
the United
States and traveled all over the world. So I call BS when I see BS, sir.
Okay. So that's you know, irrelevant right now. Where you come from, where I came from.
So no, you weren't born here?
No, Mike. It is not irrelevant because I'm sitting here listening to you. I can tell you honestly, I was born in the United States. You were not, because there's no way in the world you were born in the United States and you have an accent like this. You speak like this. Your English is broken like
your
this. Come on, man. Tell us
everything about you was screaming, I am not born in America. Did I say you're not American now? No, that's not what I said. I asked
you
a very specific question. Where were you born?
Okay. instead of, you know, we going around and around about that, why not?
No, we're not going around and around because we didn't put a stop to you. No. We didn't put a stop to your shenanigans. What you called for, Mike, is to try to use T's platform for propaganda. That's what you called for.
Good night. Okay, getting back to what we were discussing.
Ooh, Jesus, keep working on me, Lord. Keep working on me,
see,
Lord.
But see, this is, every once in a while, I get that kind of a caller that want to play games. Now, you and I both.
That means you're doing something right, T. That means you're doing something right.
You and I both who have, I was a military brat, spent time in the military. You spent time in the military. We've been around the world. We know it when
been
we hear
it. In the 19th country.
Know it when we hear it. But he want to play that game.
In every region of the world except for the East. I mean, every region of America except for the East Coast. Y'all heard that.
Man.
That was not an American accent. That was not an American syntax. That was something else.
I can tell you now, that's one of them cats. He come out of the Ukraine. He comes out of what was known as Yugoslavia. I didn't heard it before.
And these are the same people that are pushing propaganda on your social media pages.
Yes, they are.
And in a way, as irritated as I am, which I'm kind of not irritated, but I am, but as irritated as I am, I'm glad that that actually happened so that people could see, because once you see it, you can never unsee it. Start asking these questions, y'all. When you see these people putting out these tweets, when you see these people going on these programs, when you see these people calling into radio shows, start asking questions. If it doesn't make sense, probably because it shouldn't make sense. Ask questions, y'all.
Because there you have it, right there in living color. All right, we in rap
live,
down mode.
Live,
so
that was not scripted.
That, exactly. Live, that was not Memorex. That was live. So now we've hit the wrap down session of the show. Tell them what you want them to know.
That was wild.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, Super Tuesday. Super Tuesday is Tuesday, March 5th. We're voting here in California. 15 other states are voting. I gave the list, but, again, I will put receipts on my Twitter page as well as T's Twitter page. I'll give you an article of that. America Samoa is also voting. This is the biggest day pretty much of primary voting because you have so many states. It is a lot of delegates that will be awarded on Super Tuesday. I mean, pretty much after Super Tuesday, you will know, even though we already know, you will know who the nominee is going to be. So that part there. If you're in California, please return your ballots. We make it so easy for you to vote here. If you have any questions, and this just doesn't go for California. Any state Secretary of State website will have information on how you can vote, where your polling places are, if there's early voting, if there's mail-in voting, and all that good stuff.
Yes, indeed. And there you have it. We have done what we always do. Gave it to you live and living color. We didn't tell you the truth. We ain't told you what you want to hear. And so I'm just going to tell you what I always tell you. Each one, reach one, teach one. Those of you proficient with your arms, take your folks to the range. Get them trained up. Get them registered. Start a neighborhood watch. Start a cop watch. Watch the people who are watching us. We are headed to November. November 24 is coming. And like Sister Aja just said, early voting, and especially here in California, do your thing. Put your ballot in a drop box. Put your ballot in the mail. We make it easy. So everybody take care of one another. And next Friday, we will have a show for you, my God, because like she said, March 5th is Super Tuesday, and we will talk about it this upcoming, the next Friday. Everybody stay tight. Take care of your folks. Sister Isaac, you know you and I will be talking throughout the week. Everybody else,
yes.
Stay tight. Stay beautiful. We will definitely holler. My darling, have a good rest of the evening.
You too, T. Thanks. Bye, guys.
You are very much welcome. Night-night.